This is David Duke, and this is the audio version of my book, My Awakening. Although My Awakening is now available in over a dozen languages around the world, it is one of the most suppressed books in the world. Even Canada, a nation that supposedly embraces free speech and thought, seizes my book at the border and summarily burns it. In the Czech Republic not long ago, I was arrested and imprisoned for my writing this book, even though I wrote it in America, in English, over 12 years previously, simply because someone dared to independently translate the book into Czech and to publish it. I was about to lecture in Prague at one of the oldest universities in the world, Charles University, a great institution of learning and one that was founded on the idea of free speech and conscience. And you know what? I was arrested before I could even speak. Ultimately, I was freed and charges were dropped because anyone who reads this book with an open mind will see that I do not advocate human suppression, but human rights. The truth is that I'm the opposite of a racist. Racism is the suppression or control over other races. It even represents things like genocide or the destruction of a race. As you'll find out in this book, I believe in the exact opposite of that. I believe in the incredible diversity of humanity, and I want to preserve that diversity. I believe in the right of every people on this planet to flourish, to be free. I believe in the right of all people, every people, to preserve their unique identity, to preserve their heritage, their culture, their unique character and spirit, and to be truly free and independent. And this, of course, includes my own people. I believe that globalism destroys true freedom. I also recognize the worldwide influence of Zionism, for I believe that Zionism not only occupies Palestine and suppresses the people of Palestine, I believe the Zionists occupy Hollywood and the globalist media, and that they have a powerful influence over the politics of America and many nations. I believe that this power leads the world to war and conflict, such as the Iraq War and the Afghanistan War, and I believe that it fuels the so-called clash of civilizations, not only on the borders of nations, but within nations as well, in a divide and conquer strategy. I appreciate the fact that you'll spend some time with me listening to a new point of view. For some of you, it's taken a lot of moral courage to be truly open-minded, to be willing to listen to a point of view that might challenge the dogma of the globalist media and the emotional conditioning of Hollywood. But you know, you can't really know about anyone or what their ideas are until you listen to those ideas for yourself and not simply judge someone by what other people say. I think you'll be surprised by what I actually say as compared to what the controlled media says that I say. I promise that this book will challenge you. It will make you think. All progress must involve the breaking of taboo, the challenging of dogma. When the early scientists of the Middle Ages saw the truth that the Earth was not the center of the universe, these brave men were refuted not by reason. They were demonized. They were called haters, haters of God, haters of truth, haters of decency. Some were even burned at the stake, such as Bruno. Every age has its dogma. And this age has dogma as well. In fact, actually, in the modern age, dogma and superstition are much more easily instilled in people than in the ancient periods of time. Why? Because celluloid or digital media is an artificial conveyance. It's not the real world. It's a particular representation of the world. The overwhelming majority of media we see is fiction. And in the movies, it really does look like Superman can fly. Furthermore, masters of propaganda like Edward Bernays and others have learned how to manipulate with appeals not to our reason, but to psychological states, much like the way in the early 20th century women were manipulated to smoke cigarettes by associating smoking with freedom. far from liberation, cigarettes have caused the death or illness of hundreds of millions of women, and even the sickness and death of millions of their own children, exposed to its effects. This book is a product of my lifelong search for truth and understanding. And sometimes it takes a lot of courage to put your beliefs at stake, at risk. And I'm willing to put my beliefs at risk every day to read other points of view and to weigh them carefully. I hope you have that same kind of courage. This audiobook took a huge amount of time and effort to produce. It contains over 40 hours of speaking this book to life. It's my gift to you. You'll find this book well documented, and I suggest you get the hardback edition and have the benefit of the plentiful charts and illustrations in the printed copy of the book. Even more important, the printed edition of My Awakening has the benefit of footnotes and citations, and I urge you all to check them out. There are over 1,000 footnotes in My Awakening, and you will find that they're not simply from obscure references, but most of them come from mainstream sources. For instance, in Part 3 of My Awakening, The Jewish Question, most of the quotations I use are intentionally from mainstream Jewish sources. I simply connect the dots so you can see the picture clearly. This book is divided into four parts. Part 1 is my early life. It's called An American Son, and it deals with many of my adventures as a young, typical American boy. Part 2 deals with my increased understanding of the realities of race, and it's called Race and Reality. Part 3 deals with the problems of Zionism and Jewish extremism, and it's called The Jewish Question. Part 4 deals with my political and life history, and it's filled with interesting insights and occurrences in my tumultuous life, and it's called The Fight for Truth. I urge you to start from the beginning and to go in chapter order. Why? Because in challenging entrenched opinion and dogma, you must lay a foundation, and this book builds its case like one must build a house from the foundation up, floor by floor. Without the foundations, one cannot construct the upper floor. So, although some of the chapters of Part 2 may not be so exciting with its scientific approach, those chapters are essential to understanding the rest of the book. Personally, I find the scientific part the most interesting part, and I have a lifelong dedication to science, even though my PhD is in history. The book is dedicated to my friend and Nobel Prize winner, Dr. William Shockley. He's the man most responsible for the invention of the transistor and ultimately the silicon chip and our entire computer and technological revolution. In fact, Shockley Semiconductor was the very foundation of the famed Silicon Valley. Shockley was one of the most important scientists of the 20th century, and he talked with me on a number of occasions before his death, spurring on my own understanding and my own dedication to writing this book and putting these ideas on paper and sharing it with the world. The most renowned biological scientist of the 20th century is, of course, James Watson, the co-discoverer of the double helix in DNA. And Watson is the man most responsible for the efforts to chart the human genome, perhaps the most important scientific project in history. In an unguarded moment, he spoke very truthfully some realities of race, and he paid a great price for his honesty and his opinion and genius. It is interesting to know that perhaps the two most important scientists of the 20th century both have shared some of the essential views and understanding of race that you will also find in this book. My latest edition of My Awakening is also dedicated to Dr. Glade Whitney. Dr. Whitney was a psychology professor at Florida State University, and he also served as president of the Behavior Genetics Association. Dr. Whitney's preface is available in the printed edition of this book, and many say that his preface is a wonderful work of writing in its own right. When I completed My Awakening, I asked Dr. Whitney to carefully go over the book, check carefully the scientific evidence, and offer any suggestions he might have over the course of the whole book. I was pleasantly surprised when he came back to me and told me that he considered the book one of the best he'd ever read and that the science was accurate and well expressed throughout. He then courageously offered to write the preface if I would permit him to do so. He did so, knowing that writing the preface of the book at that time, the preface of a man steeped so much in controversy, that it would in turn cause him difficulty. But Dr. Whitney courageously did so, and his preface is a wonderful addition to the book. He passed away in 2002, and I miss him greatly. Perhaps the most amazing thing to me about my awakening is how the book has been received by so many wonderful people all over the world. Every day of my life, I get a host of wonderful letters from all over the earth. Many of the letters are from well-known personalities who have told me that the book has literally changed their view of the world. And every day, I discover people of whom I knew nothing about, who've read my books, and who have been affected greatly by those books. During a trip for some academic lectures in Syria, I was in Damascus, when a friend received a call on his cell from the leading journalist in Syria and one of the most well-known and respected journalists in the world, a man who'd interviewed President Clinton and most of the world leaders and once was head of a major news broadcasting division in the UK. My friend handed me the phone. The voice said, "This is Nadal Kabbalan. I'm trying to reach Dr. David Duke, the author of My Awakening." "Yes, this is David Duke," I answered. He went on, "I'm so thankful to speak with you. To begin with, I want you to know that I consider My Awakening the most important and wonderful book I've ever read. It actually got me in trouble with my wife. She kept telling me to come to bed, but I couldn't put down your book, and I read it practically round the clock for 3 days straight." He invited me, and I later appeared on his internationally aired TV program, one of the most watched in the entire Mideast. Every day of my life, I receive similar messages from thousands of thoughtful and independent-minded people around the world. I would love to hear from you as you progress in this book, but you might hold your questions for a while because I think many of them will be answered as you make progress, subsequent progress into the book. This audio version is my gift to you. I hope that if you find it valuable, you get the excellent hardback edition, and that you also will give me the support I need to get this truth to the world. I also urge all of you to watch my videos and go to my website, davidduke.com, and you'll find many thousands of articles I've written on a wide range of subjects dealing with the realities of the world. Thanks so much for your courage, your intellectual courage to be here, and I hope you'll find this book valuable. It's been so much a part of my life, and now it has the opportunity to become a part of yours. I begin with my preface to My Awakening. My Awakening is a thesis in an autobiographical form. It is the story of my path to racial understanding that began when I was a young man in the middle of the 1960s. Most of my fundamental understanding was in place by the end of that decade, but my knowledge has grown much deeper over the last 30 years in all these areas. Since the 1960s, much new scientific and political material has become available. In recounting my path to understanding, I'm not trying to give the reader the impression that all the materials or studies that I cite were available in the 1960s. I weave into this narrative contemporary data and documentation so the reader has the benefit of the latest information. Also, for reasons of coherence and organization, Part 2 and 3 focus on one primary area of discovery at a time. While in life, the acquisition of knowledge is not so neatly compartmentalized. Also, I'd be remiss not to say that when I write I learned or I discovered, that I take no credit for original research, for my education on these subjects came from innumerable authors and their books and articles. I'm in debt to them, as well as to my many supporters and friends who have educated me with insights and knowledge acquired in the course of their own awakening. I assemble, organize, analyze, and comment on materials collected by scholars and writers from ancient times to the present. This book may well challenge many currently held beliefs by the reader. That is why I include many direct quotations from major authorities rather than merely allude to them. They speak far more powerfully than my own commentary, so I indent them and place them in bold type. And I also make it clear in this audio version when I quote these very powerful words. In regard to the ever-controversial Jewish issue, I purposefully and primarily use quotes and documents from Jewish sources, and I encourage you to review them carefully, for they will amaze you. And I want to put a side note here for the audio edition that many Jewish people have read this book, and they found it very, very valuable in their own understanding. Now, this book is a snapshot in time. Most of the updates I make in subsequent editions reflect the mounting scientific data validating the views expressed here. It's comforting to note that the two Galileos of the modern age, Dr. William Shockley, the transistor, and Dr. James Watson, co-discoverer of the DNA double helix, have expressed similar racial understanding that you'll find in this book. In recounting my awakening on matters of race, I offer you a glimpse of the real world long obscured by the globalist media. May it constitute a scientific and a political basis for the survival of my own people and all people, and may it be a signpost for our evolutionary pathway to the stars. The first chapter is in part one. Part one is called An American Son, and chapter one is called An American Son.